And it's time once again now on Southside Broadcasting, both for Channel 1, as far as Hospedia is concerned, at James Cook University Hospital, and also for our many and growing band of podcast listeners on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com to welcome back the ace guru when it comes to matters pharmaceutical. That would be Dennis the Chemist. Dennis, how are you?
Mighty fine, thank you.
Excellent. So, it's the big A word, a nutritional supplements courtesy of multivits.co.uk, i.e. Alzheimer's, how they can conceivably help and keep us all sort of bright and sparky and the quality of life is maintained, I think you wish to talk about today.
Yes, we do seem to be hearing more and more every day, every week, every month. We see headlines about breakthrough in this problem, Alzheimer, where, from what we can gather, we hear that there is a plaque formation, which the plaque, when it's formed in the brain in old age, and sometimes even, unfortunately, younger people than old age, the plaque disrupts the nervous system of the brain, and the person has these terrible manifestations of the illness we call Alzheimer, where in Alzheimer, memory and cognition and learning, understanding, communicating can go completely haywire because of this plaque that forms, covering parts of the brain, the nerves of the brain, the cells of the brain, until we get the problems. But this Danish company, PharmaNord, where by Danish law in Denmark, health food products have to be made to pharmaceutical standards. And this company, PharmaNord, have about 48 different products, which are all, in one way or another, doing things to help the human body cope with all the trials and tribulations that it experiences from basically from the cradle to the grave. As we get older and older and older, things like a machine, like your electric vacuum cleaner, your motor car, your aeroplane, your radio, your phone, your TV, your iron, anything can start to go wrong as you get older. And if you look after the product, if it needs oiling, you oil it. If the flex on something electrical goes faulty and wears out, you put a new flex on the kettle or the toaster. So you get the idea. You have your window cleaners to clean the window. If a slate comes off the roof, you have a gentleman will climb a ladder and put a slate on. So with the human body, we sail through life. Some people sail through life smoking and drinking and putting weight on when they put too much weight on. So there are many things that happen to the human body. And this company, PharmaNord, who make health food products to pharmaceutical standards, that's the main thing. They make their products as good as the medicines, the way the medicines are made in my pharmacy here in Manchester. I'm a pharmacist doing prescriptions on Sunday, which was a couple of days ago. It was the 50th anniversary of myself becoming a pharmacist, July the 19th, 1965 was when I qualified as a pharmacist from John Moore University in Liverpool. I used to rock and roll to the Beatles in the Cavern Club in my lunch hour. But I digress, because that's when I was young, and now I'm coming up 75. So I'm old, but I am taking some of the PharmaNord products to maintain good health. That's the thing. So let's look at just a few of the wonderful products from PharmaNord. Take, for example, the mineral magnesium. There is a mineral, magnesium. You've heard of iron for your anemia. You've heard of calcium for your bones. Magnesium, I heard the World Authority lecturing on in Geneva in Switzerland 27 years ago. And he told us, and those of you on the internet can Google this question, how many different pathways is magnesium in the human body? And the answer is 325 different pathways. It's involved in nervous conduction. It's involved in the maintenance of strong bones along with calcium. In the nervous conduction, when people unfortunately have a heart attack and their main artery in their body is in their heart is blocked, they need the side arteries to keep going, to go a little bit wider to keep the heart going. If they've got magnesium in their blood system, then the nervous system to the blood vessels can work properly, and the blood vessels, the collateral we call them, the side blood vessels next to the blood vessel that's been blocked, the side vessels will open wider and help to keep the heart going. So that's just a little bit on the mineral magnesium. So the product PharmaNord make, it's a tablet. You get a couple of months for £5 odd, or you can buy an economy box with the fifth sheet free. That's 5 months supply. That would last you, if you bought a box a day of biomagnesium, a large box of 150 tablets on one tablet a day, it would last to nearly January next year. Literally coppers a day. So that's called biomagnesium. Another mineral, the world's rarest mineral, is the mineral selenium. Selenium, named after, I forget the reason, named after the moon, goddess of the moon, selenium. And selenium, as opposed to magnesium, which is in more pathways than any other pathway of any mineral, 325 different pathways, selenium is needed to make 25 selenium proteins. They are so important, these proteins. They're then enabling you to do all different jobs in your body. So if you've got enough selenium, you can make selenium M protein, which helps to work your muscles properly. Selenium N for nerves, once again, like magnesium, helps to work your nervous system properly. The P1 helps to protect your liver, and the K1 helps to protect your kidney. The one called thioredoxin reductase selenium, what a mouthful, that helps to protect your heart. Glutathione peroxidase selenium number one, that helps to stop or help if you've got arthritic joints, or help to prevent you getting arthritic joints by helping to go against the wearing out problem of old age. The this long one, selenoiodothyronine deiodinase. Can that really be true that doctors use a phrase like that to describe one of the pathways that selenium works in? Well, it is true. Seleno, the first bit of the long word, is the selenium. Iodo is the bit of iodine that we need. Selenoiodothyronine, thyronine, thyroxine, to do with your thyroid gland. We all make thyroxine, this substance in our thyroid gland, which enables us to do many different jobs in our body. And there are people with underactive thyroid glands. There are a lot more women than men with underactive thyroid glands. It seems to be women in particular, and especially it seems to become more prevalent after the menopause, where the lack of estrogen seems to bring about in women this underactive thyroid problem. Many women, maybe some listening, don't know they've got an underactive thyroid gland, so they won't yet be on the little tablet that the doctor will order and the pharmacist like myself will hand out a prescription for a little white tablet called thyroxine. And that thyroxine, in order to work properly, in the hospitals they call thyroxine T4. And in order to do its job properly, it has to be converted to the 10 times more active thyroxine version called T3. In order to convert the T4 to the 10 times active T3, you need that form of selenium protein. I'll say that mouthful again. Selenoiodothyronine deiodinase. Now, in that mouthful, you need selenium. One of the reasons why so many ladies in particular seem to have underactive thyroid problems, or the thyroid gland not being able to do all the jobs needed in the human body, is because they can't make the selenoiodothyronine deiodinase, because Great Britain has the lowest levels of the mineral selenium in the world. Our soil has the lowest levels in the world. If we were in Venezuela, we would get 350 micrograms a day through the food chain, because there's a lot of selenium in the soil in Venezuela. In Japan, their soil gives them 200 to 400 micrograms a day through the food chain, because if it's in the soil, it can get into your vegetables, it can get into your cows, and then you eat the meat or the chicken or the goats or the pigs, because those that are eating grass, if the grass is growing in soil in Venezuela with high selenium, it will end up in the grass, end up in the cow eating the grass, and then we eat the chicken or the cow or the goat, and they're eating the grass, so we end up with sufficient selenium. But these numbers, Venezuela 350, Japan 200 to 400 a day, North America 250. We're getting, you won't believe this, the people of Great Britain only get 31 micrograms a day. 31. And we can make very little of these 25 selenoproteins. And consequently, we suffer from having low levels of selenium, because all those selenium proteins that you need to make, just like I mentioned earlier, the P1 to protect your liver, the M1 to protect your muscle, the M1 to protect your nerve, the K1 to protect your kidney, thioredoxin reductase selenium to protect your heart, all these need to be made. But people listening to this program, living in Great Britain, including myself, I live in Great Britain, I'm here in Manchester, we can't make all these anything like to the degree that other countries can, because it just so happens we have the lowest levels of selenium. So you can buy a tablet, cost about 10 pence a day. It's called Seleno Precise. price, and it's a precise amount of 200 millionths of a gram, 200 micrograms. We're already getting only 31 micrograms a day. But if you add the tablets Soleno Precise each day, which I've been on for over 30 years since I read a book called Selenium as a Food and Selenium as a Medicine. And there were 16 chapters in that book explaining how if you can get sufficient selenium, and you can now with this tablet, Soleno Precise, for about 10 pence a day. There was a chapter on it, how it helps fertility, how it helps the heart, how it helps the lens of the eye to greatly reduce the chance of cataracts forming, especially in diabetics, because they are very prone to getting diabetes because of all the sugar, which can damage so many parts of the body. So that selenium is another product, Soleno Precise, along with biomagnesium, where PharmaNaut products, Soleno Precise, biomagnesium, can greatly enhance the quality of life, helping to slow down the aging process. They've just brought out a product a few months ago. I've already sold 22 dozen because people are staying on it. It's another mineral. It's chromium. Older people will say, chromium? That's what car bumpers used to be made of. How can you take chromium? We all need a little bit of chromium. We need 100 millionths of a gram, because if you take a biochromium tablet that PharmaNaut have brought out, and it costs about 20p a day, it allows you to make a substance that I've not met any pharmacists or doctors yet who've heard of this substance. I only learnt about it about 8-9 months ago. It was discovered in Japan. It's called chromodulin. You can only make it in your cells by getting enough chromium, and none of us have got enough chromium. And so when you take a biochromium tablet, this chromodulin is formed in your cells of your body, of which you're made of 60 trillion. And when chromodulin can now be formed, it moves across the cell to where the glucose channel is waiting to open to let the sugar into your body that the insulin has brought to give you your energy. But the insulin, in conjunction with the glucose channel, between the two of them, they can't get the glucose channel to open to let your sugar come in from your food unless you've been able to make this key, this opening substance called chromodulin. And now with biochromium, you swallow a tablet, the chromium levels rise in your blood system, they transport this 100 millionths of a gram, they transport literally a few molecules to each cell wall, and this activates the glucose channel to open, and the sugar comes in. When you've got enough sugar now, you won't have it on the outside of your cell, storing it as fat. That's one of the reasons why everybody's becoming so obese. We're second only in the world now to America with being fat, obese, and grossly obese, which leads to all the problems of heart disease and cancer and arthritic joints. If you're overweight, your knees and hips don't like you being overweight because they wear out. And you can greatly address keeping the sugar from allowing you to become overweight if it can get into the cell. Because if it gets into the cell, you will then burn it up for energy instead of storing it as fat. And if you burn it up for energy, a substance, another funny word, cholecystokinin is made, which tells your brain, I feel full. So when the sugar comes in, you've got enough energy, you won't want to eat the cakes sweets and the ice cream and the extra portion of pizza because you still feel hungry, because now you know the reason why. The sugar from all the food can't get into the cell properly to give you your energy unless the glucose channel opens. And these glucose channels in your body, there will be billions of them. They cannot open without chromium. And without the chromium, this biochromium, if the channels can't open, the sugar, the glucose channels, you will store the sugar as fat. There's even a condition now, not just the liver problem from that's called alcoholic fatty liver disease. This is just fatty liver, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And if you're eating too much fat, yes, of course, that's no good. But too much sugar, the sugar cannot get into the cells, and so it gets stored all over your body, your belly, your bottom, your double chin, and your liver. And people can get non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because we're eating and eating and eating and eating and eating the wrong food. We're having too much sugary food. Sugar is the new nicotine. So once again, this brilliant company from Denmark, PharmaNord, who make their health food products by Danish law, not just PharmaNord, every health food company in Denmark, they all have to, by Danish law, make their health products to pharmaceutical standards. Funnily enough, the only company I've come across from Denmark is PharmaNord, and that's why I've been selling their products 25 years. Their flagship product is called Bioquinone Q10 Gold 100 milligram capsule. It's a capsule that costs 50p. If you take one a day, you will always have the blood levels of a 21-year-old person. If you took the top dose of three a day, one with each meal, it will then help to stop muscle loss. The medical name for muscle loss is sarcopenia, a funny word. Well, it's Greek. Sarco is Greek for flesh. Penia is Greek for poverty. Poverty of flesh is muscle loss. And as you get older, folks, you lose your muscle. Listen to this. That's me thumping my six-pack at 75. Because I've been taking Bioquinone Q10 Gold from PharmaNord for 25 years. That six-pack and all the muscles of my body, my arms, biceps, triceps, none of them have lost muscle. It's like the body of a younger man who is weight training, because this word sarcopenia is telling you about muscle loss. And as you pass 45, you lose 10% of your muscle every 10 years, 55 to 65 to 75. Each decade, each 10 years, you normally lose 10% of your muscle. It's part of a process called aging. It's part of a process called getting older, getting old. And when you're blessed with 75 years old to 85 years old, then you can become very doddery and you lose about 30% of your muscle in that 10 years from 75 to 85. But if you take their flagship product, Bioquinone Q10 Gold, this enables you to maintain your energy, the elixir of life. And this is the nearest thing I'm saying. We talked originally about Alzheimer's and dementia, but when you take Q10, Bioquinone Q10 Gold, 100 milligrams, one a day or two a day or even three a day. If you take these capsules at mealtime, if you were on three a day, you wouldn't take them all together to get a good blood level. You would split them, one with your breakfast, one with your lunch, one with your evening meal. Whether you take one a day, two a day or three a day, you will always have more energy. You will always be feeling younger. You will always have more muscle. which enables you, especially elderly ladies who tend to trip up and fall over, and because they're way past the menopause, the lack of estrogen has brought about in many elderly ladies this problem of brittle bone disease, osteoporosis. When an elderly lady trips up, men do also get osteoporosis, but nothing like to the degree or the number of people compared to women who do get the brittle bone disease. But by taking bioquinone Q10 Gold 100 milligram, this enables you to have the energy and the muscle that if you trip up, you've got the energy and muscle to steady yourself. If you're over 75, one in five ladies, you know, many ladies over 75, if they trip up, they do get this fall. They fall and they break their hip, and then they have to have a new hip, a hip replacement. So it's just another example of how the flagship product of PharmaNord, bioquinone Q10 Gold 100 milligram, can help elderly ladies, can help everybody to stave off these problems I've just mentioned.
And what a perfect,
old age.
What a perfect
and
way to actually.
Like angina,
as you said, we'll just hold fire there, Dennis. Yes, I know, because we're going shortly to actually speak to Professor Martin Cowie, who's Professor of Cardiology at Imperial College in London, talking again about the challenges with respect to the condition of AF, or atrial fibrillation. So something there which I'm sure clearly we can cross-reference with perfectly with, obviously, the multivits.co.uk material, and of course, as you said, the elixir of life there sorted out. Have you had a reasonably interesting mini lecture with us on the program today, Dennis Gore?
Absolutely, and I'm very pleased he'll be discussing atrial fibrillation, because he'll be telling you there are still 200,000 people who've been put on aspirin for atrial fibrillation, and for that particular problem, he'll be saying that aspirin for that particular problem won't be the best medicine. They've got newer medicines. That's what I'm giving you an introduction there.
Well, there we are, and that's one of the reasons why he's also one of the renowned UK heart experts, and indeed advisors.
Absolutely.
In the Department of Health and the NHS England, amongst others. So there we are, Dennis, from yourself to Professor Martin Cowie. Tremendous stuff. We'll speak again very soon.
Thank you.
Obviously, the cliched song It's a Heartache springs to mind when we consider the next particular piece of information, which deals with the very serious matter of atrial fibrillation. And indeed, to address ways of hopefully coping with this, and indeed hopefully possibly dealing with treatment for the whole difficulty with respect to atrial fibrillation, we're delighted to welcome Professor of Cardiology at Imperial College London, and indeed Honorary Consultant Cardiologist at the Royal Brompton and Harefield NHS Foundation Trust, the true legend that is Professor Martin Cowie. Martin, welcome to the production. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So starting off with atrial fibrillation, I mean, we hear a lot of numbers around in terms of some of our research for this piece suggested that over 200,000 people in the UK prescribed aspirin incorrectly for atrial fibrillation, because that doesn't necessarily work. There are studies from Denmark that suggest actually it's all to do with coenzyme Q10. Just talk us through the sort of issues with respect to atrial fibrillation and ways forward, really.
Well, atrial fibrillation is one of the most common heart rhythm problems that we have. And you're absolutely right. There are hundreds of thousands of people in England with this problem. In fact, 1/4 of us will develop it at some stage in our lives. Treatment has changed a lot over the last 10 or 15 years. And the major issue with this, and NICE has identified it, and doctors and others have identified this, is that if you have atrial fibrillation, it's like a ticking time bomb in terms of the risk of a stroke. Your heart's skipping around all the time, and you may not even be aware of that, but clot can form inside the heart and then shoot off and cause a stroke, and sadly it's usually quite a disabling stroke, and you'll never get back to a normal quality of life. So this is why it's hugely important that people with this rhythm problem are identified, and they see their doctor, and they have a discussion about thinning the blood. And there's a whole range of options now to do that, to reduce the risk of stroke, which has such a devastating impact on patients and their families, of course.
Very much so. Now, again, in terms of reducing the risk of blood clots, obviously life is risk. We know about that. We've started talking about, I mean, aspirin presumably is not in the same league as warfarin as far as this is concerned.
Absolutely not. 20 years ago we thought it was, now we know definitely aspirin is not an appropriate treatment to reduce the risk of stroke and atrial fibrillation. You definitely need, and the vast majority of patients will need, their blood thinned, and for that, and there are a range of options nowadays, which is exciting. A new option just licensed in the UK 2 weeks ago, a drug called edoxaban. But we used to have just warfarin, and most of your listeners will be aware of that. They used to call it rat poison. Mm. Very effective drug for many years. It was the only thing we could use. But now we have four other modern warfarins that we can use that are simpler, to be honest, and people don't have to have regular blood checks. They don't interfere with your diet or with other medications nearly as much as warfarin. So I think it's really important that if people do have atrial fibrillation, they need their risk of stroke reduced. If they do need to go on to an anticoagulant, they have all of the options explained to them and come to the best decision for them.
And if we look at edoxaban, an oral once-daily direct factor 10A inhibitor, I realise sometimes you might say, why are you giving me computer code when we're talking about factor 10A? Can we just break that down a little bit, Martin, in terms of sort of the fundamentals in terms of how that is good for us, really?
Well, biochemists get very excited about factor 10A, but for a doctor and a patient, it's just an effective way of thinning the blood and reducing the risk of stroke. And there's four modern warfarins available now, and you mentioned the most recent one, edoxaban, that was just licensed 2 weeks ago. So these agents are very effective. They've been designed over many years. We've got very large clinical trials. They've been licensed, and it's just fantastic that we now have this range of options for patients. It's not just warfarin. For some, that might be fine, but for others, actually, one of the modern agents would be more suitable.
Looking at three-letter acronyms that I'm sure we'll all come to know and appreciate, VTE, venous thromboembolism, is one that sprung to mind. This is something else that can be treated by edoxaban.
Yes, some people sadly develop clots in their legs, and they can shoot off and cause clots in the lung called a pulmonary embolism. Mm. So particularly if you're not very mobile or injured your leg or something like that. And it's been really important, particularly in hospital practice, to make sure people don't develop that. And these drugs that thin the blood are also very effective at treating and preventing the clots in the leg, or so-called VTE. So another useful use of these agents.
One of the key factors that we're constantly plugging on both Siren FM and indeed Southside Broadcasting is the importance of good nutrition, and the importance of nutrition in terms of general health as much as anything else. I started off, I suppose, by talking about coenzyme Q10, elements such as that, and things like magnesium and so on. Are those important additions that people can actually take as nutritional supplements in terms of obviously helping this whole factor? Or is it again a case of, no, you can eat whatever you like as long as you sort of just have the pharmaceutical people at the other end?
Well, turning it around a little bit, in fact, if you are on warfarin, and some patients still need to be on warfarin, actually that does get interfered with by many dietary things, such as green vegetables and broccoli and kale and things like that. They have lots of vitamin K. They can make your warfarin not nearly so effective, and can make your warfarin level bounce all over the place. And so some people would find that just changing their diet, going on holiday, would make their warfarin go completely out of range. So that was a problem with the warfarin. With the newer drugs, of which there are four, they're very much less affected by diet. So it means that people can get on and live their lives, which after all is what we all want to do. So you're identified with a heart rhythm problem, atrial fibrillation, you go on to one of these modern agents that thins the blood, and you don't really have all of this faff with blood tests and having to watch your diet and how much you drink and all of those issues. So I like to call them modern warfarins, because they're more intelligent, they're more scientifically developed, lots of clinical trials, and it's great that they should be available across the country, although I have to say, looking at the most recent data in England, there's huge variation from one part of the country to another. Your part of the country in Lincolnshire is actually not too bad about people using these drugs, but it's still room for progress.
Mm. Well, having said that, I think we'll still adhere to the notion that if you have a Lamborghini or a Ferrari and you actually fill it full of sugared water, it's not going to do it good, any good whatsoever, really. So I will exactly. still keep hammering that one home. In terms of bespoke treatments, because ultimately, from what you've described so far, we seem to be heading partly towards that whole notion that we can tailor treatments to suit patient individual needs as opposed to a kind of mass, oh, we'll just sign this off, etc. Is that going to be impacted by genetic research in years to come? And are we getting to the stage where it's literally going to be one treatment for one individual patient?
Well, things are much more tailored in modern medicine than they used to be, so you're absolutely right. I think that's what we all want, both patients and doctors, to be able to say, you as an individual, this is exactly the right treatment for you, rather than just on average. I think for some types of medicine, particularly some cancers, that's really got into practice, and that's straightforward now and part of standard practice. For more complex situations where you've got lots of genetic and environmental things and dietary and lifestyle, etc., it's more complicated than that, and we do have to go with clinical trials where we've got really good evidence that these drugs work. So at the moment, for cardiac problems, there's less of the genetic testing than, for example, in cancer. But there's a lot of work going on across the world to try and make things even more personalised. But picking up on that point, I think having person-centred care is what we're all about in the NHS now. So it's a shared decision. Shared information, looking at the risks and benefits, deciding what's best for you as an individual. And that conversation should be going on between people with these heart rhythm problems and their doctors.
Beginning to conclude now, I need to bring in another little acronym. It's a four-letter one this time. NOAC, Novel Oral Anticoagulants. Across the country, I mean, you mentioned obviously Lincolnshire. If we got our listeners, obviously, up at the James Cook University Hospital up in Teesside as well, from that point of view. Is there differences between North East, the East Midlands and so on? I mean, are they significant in terms of the ways in which NOACs are actually being used?
Yes, one of the reasons that NICE was set up was to get rid of postcode prescribing, but we all know there's still a lot of variation. And the NOACs, as you mentioned, these are the modern warfarins that have come in. People were very scared that they would actually consume a lot of resource and money and they were too expensive, etc. But in actual fact, that's not the situation. It's better, more convenient treatment, to my mind, moving forward. But there's been huge variation across the country. And I noticed it when these drugs were first released, that quite often it was a battle to get them prescribed by the GPs. That's much less of a battle, but there's still a real issue about making sure that patients are identified, that they should be going on to one of the modern warfarins or NOACs, that they have a good discussion with the GP about the pros and cons of the different agents, and that they understand these are options that are available on the NHS and approved by NICE, and then go on to the best treatment for them. So I think we still have a way to go with this. It's getting better, but I think for your listeners, if you have atrial fibrillation and you're having a discussion about blood thinning treatment, it won't just be warfarin that should be offered. You should also be offered one of the NOACs or modern warfarins and come to a sensible shared decision with your GP.
Folk can obviously play this podcast back again and have a listen to it all over again if you're missing it whilst listening to it live on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. But in terms of finding out more information, is it best to go to the NHS Foundation website, or is it a case of NICE? Or where would you actually point people in the virtual world, Martin?
Well, there's several very good sources of information. So the NICE website has got the atrial fibrillation guideline. It also has a patient decision aid that's been written for patients and the public to help them come to the right decision for them. There's also a patient group called the Atrial Fibrillation Association. So if you Google Atrial Fibrillation Association, you'll then get onto their website, and it's got lots of really useful information about atrial fibrillation and blood thinners. So those are the best sources. British Heart Foundation, also a very good website.
It's been splendid actually sharing some thoughts with yourself about some quite complicated ways, but things which, as we started off by saying, can conceivably affect every one of us in the human condition. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Professor Martin Cowie?
It's been fascinating. Thank you so much.